Time, I want to explain something. These special services we did Friday and Saturday, I don't even think about the clock. Amen. We're here for special services. I'm here to preach the gospel, and we Amen. Just go for it. This is a Sunday morning. I have a little different view on Sunday. It's not limited, and it's not religious. Man, we're here to gather together and just celebrate something we've become, something we understand. Some of us have greater revelation. Some are just stepping in. There's people from all... There's so much diversity in this room, you'd be amazed. There's people in all different places and walks of life. There's people in different emotional states and places. And this is a time to get together and be encouraged, look around, get a hold of Him, get to know Him more. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Watch this. I really believe this. This time is to come together and stay focused on what it's really all about. And then go ahead and go out of these doors and look a little more like Him Amen. Than when you came. I'm serious. That's how I see Sunday morning. We have children back there. We got families. We got schedules. We work all week, some of us. And it's just like, wow, what a time set aside to come and hit the mark of why we're here. Don't, please, do yourself a favor. Don't just come to church because it's Sunday and it's the Christian thing to do. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss. You can come to church, sing all these songs, and never have even communicated with the Lord all morning. You could have got the kids up and hustled and bustled and got ready and got here and never even thought about the Lord in a personal way. And what you're doing to yourself is you're teaching yourself that church attendance is Christianity. And you don't realize you're doing it. It's not an evil thing. It's not hypocrites. We just don't think about it. We don't understand. So I want to stir you up this morning. I want to get you thinking on why we're here and who He is and why He did what He did. Because I promise you, everybody, I don't even know you, man. I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm going to jump on a plane today and fly home, and I'm just going to have fun. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up, and life's going to be bigger than God. There ain't nothing nobody can do about it. You just can't change that. Seriously, for the last 20 years, not 20 months, I'm not riding a zeal of 20 months. The last 20 years, I don't think I haven't experienced life like you. Some ways maybe more intense, some ways a little less. But the truth is we're all walking through life. But He's become very real to me. And ain't nothing anybody can do about that now that I know Him at the level I do.
Hallelujah.
Now that I hear His voice and sense His presence and know His name, read His Bible, His Word, and He comes alive inside of me. It's a good day, man.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, that'll take you through everything. And I've learned something along the way, and I want to pass it on to you that Holy Spirit's been teaching me for 20 years right out of the gate. Because I grew up in church, guys. I went to church until I was about 18, and then it was really off and on. And I was like, man, do I need to keep honoring my mom and going?
Anybody get the point? You know, church again. I'd act like I was sleeping. I was never asleep at that time in the morning when I was a kid. But I'd sure act like I was sleeping on Sunday. See, my boy, get out of bed. You're coming to church.
Amen. Oh, okay.
Amen.
Go sit there.
Just miss it all. Never had a relationship with Jesus. Never sought Him in my own heart. Never got alone in a room and closed the door and purposed to get to know Him or seek Him or ask Him some questions. Just heard a lot of people talk about God, heard the preacher talk about God. Never had a relationship with Him. I got married when I was 20. I went to church a little because the pastor counseled us that married us. So I thought we better hang out at church and make it look good.
All right.
Just being real, man. Might as well bring it real, right? And then right after I went to church and we got married, I said, you know what? I got my little car, my little house. It was really little. I was young and had my little wife and she's little. So everything was little. Man, you Texas folks, everything's big, but mine was little. So I thought, you know what, I'm 20 years old, I don't got to go to church anymore, I'm not under mom's roof, I just ain't going. The only reason I had that idea is because all church was to me was something that you go to, that you pay homage to God. It's people find something in church, but might not really find Him.
Come on.
That's right.
All of a sudden you get your identity in being a part of something. You get your identity, you feel better about your stand with God because of what you do for Him instead of what you're becoming in Him. And all of a sudden you can go to church. Listen carefully this morning, guys. I want to just challenge your hearts. You can go to church and have the same mentality, same attitude, same motives, same disposition as people that never go to church. And all of a sudden I realize we're missing the whole point. We're just paying homage to God. We're trying to feel better about what we say we are by what we do instead of what we become.
That's right.
Amen. That's true. That's right.
So 13 years, went out for 2 years, I went to church with my wife just to keep her happy. It just made it better at home if I went to church. So I said, okay, I can do this. It just kept her quiet. She didn't cry as much. She wanted to be a Christian family. Wanted to be married to a Christian man. When we met, I told her I was a Christian. It helped the cause. It worked. It was good. It wasn't anything Christian about me. She just got saved 6 months before I met her. And isn't it amazing how you just get saved and you just have a hunger for God and you're just looking for change in your life. And all of a sudden this relationship pops up that you think you have to have. But it's not edifying the cause. It wasn't the timing of God. It wasn't a good thing. See, I'm not thinking Jesus. I'm a 19-year-old kid, man. She's a 23-year-old woman to me. I'm thinking, this is a woman. But she cares for me, and I'm 19, and she went, whoa! I'm thinking, I got this going on right now. I was a happy 19-year-old boy. Because a 23-year-old like me, and I thought, we're going to make this happen. I got like one thing on my mind. And I don't have to go into detail, church. She said, is it all right if I'm real this morning?
It's all right.
Come on, we've all lived life apart from Him. We've all lived life the way that seems right. We've all been taught by the spirit of the world. Whether you realize it or not, the way you feel, the way you think growing up isn't even you. It's what you were taught and trained to be just by life.
That's right.
People fashioned you. The things that happened decided you. Yes. The bad things stuck with you. The things that didn't happen hurt you. The things that did happen sometimes hurt you. We were pottered and formed and molded by something that wasn't Him. Be real with me.
That's right.
And the person you are by a very young age has nothing to do with who you really are. You're searching the whole time for identity. You're searching the whole time for acceptance. You're searching the whole time to find yourself in this crazy, sometimes confusing thing we call life.
Yes.
That's how it is for everyone in this room. Yes. You know it's true.
Yes.
You want to fit in. You don't want to be rejected. If you're rejected, you either become broken or a fighter. Yes. You become broken or you become hard.
Yes.
Some people, man, I was working with the guy. Man, if you got colored hair, I am not against that at all. I could care less what color you like your hair. You make your hair whatever color you like, just do it for the right reason. Do it because you like the color. The way it looks on you. Don't do it to make some statement because you're hurt. Don't do it to make a statement because you're this or that. Disjointed. I worked with a guy who had purple hair spiked in a mohawk, and I don't have a problem with that at all. Are you kidding me? That's none of my business. If he likes purple, go for it.
Amen.
Some preachers say, well, you should be good. I mean, you should do that. And then they turn me on and make, what is the big deal? Why are you better because you don't like his hair and he likes it? Why are you better? Because why am I right and he's wrong? Stop that
Amen.
Stuff. But here's the problem. I was working with him and he was running from me. And I'd wear my little Christian t-shirts and I'd just come to work, you know. And he's avoiding me. I can tell it. I ain't a threat to him. I got nothing but love for this guy. I got nothing but love for you. See, here's the cool thing. I'm so free from you, it's so good. I didn't wake up for you to do anything for me today. That means you can't even break my heart. I don't expect anything out of you. I woke up to love you, to lay down my life for whatever it takes to bless your life. Come on, you don't know me anything. Why do you owe me anything?
Thank you, Lord.
I used to think if God would tweak you, life would be better. I'd be like, God, why don't you change people? Maybe the world will be better. I didn't understand He wanted to get inside of me and make me like Him so I see you clear.
Yes.
It's just easy to expect of you, honey. It's just easy to put pressure on you. It's easy to make you the excuse for my life. Won't any man can do that. That's weakness. I wonder if I release you and see your value in all I have in your life, if we'd have some kind of level of relationship, whether it be friend or whatever. All of a sudden, all I want to do is live in a way towards you to bring out the best in who you're called to be.
Amen.
And you can't fail me because I don't expect nothing from you. Amen. You can't disappoint me because I didn't wake up for you to love me. Love just says one thing, honey. It says, I love you. That's all it ever says. You know what we grew up saying? I love you. You love me. So insecure. It's so self-serving. All you're saying is, I love you for me. And it's not even love. It's need. I need you for my sake. I'm calling it love because it's full of fuzzies and feelings and flashes and stuff because it's meeting my needs. But the person you say you love in that way has the ability to break your heart yet today. And then you prove you don't understand love because love is the wrong kind of love. Love doesn't seek its own.
That's right.
You're never in something for what you can get from it. You're in something for what you can give to it. That's the love of God.
Yes.
For God so loved, He gave.
Yes.
Come on, guys.
Yes.
We're all in this rat race, man. We're all being formed and fashioned by something.
That's right.
You got laughed at when you were 8 years old by some kids at school. And it just crushed you inside. An insecurity flooded you. Esteem got crushed. All of a sudden, you question everything about you, everything about your value. And that's to start to decide who you are. I get by this guy, and he has purple hair. I promise you, there is not an ounce of judgment in my life towards that. I don't even have to address that in my heart. It doesn't even turn my head. I don't, boy, that's weird. I wonder what he's doing that for. I guess he's just insecure, trying to stand out. I don't mean, that stuff's not in me. That's not how Jesus is. I got near this boy that day, and he was sick. I found out he was had the flu symptoms. He was going to leave work, and I'm coming up the aisle. So Jesus set up. Jesus did this.
I liked it.
I was working in order, and I was moving much faster than him. He was moving real slow because he had to get a lot of things. I was getting one here and there. I'm catching him fast.
He's very uncomfortable around me. I'm pretty outgoing. I'm pretty free. I'm pretty secure. But he's very uncomfortable. He doesn't like my t-shirts that say Jesus and stuff like that.
I don't know why. I just knew he was uncomfortable. And I got up to him and I said, hey, man. I said, I heard you were going to leave. Your team was saying you weren't feeling well. And that flu's got some guys out. I said, is that what you're feeling? He said, yeah, man, it's bad. I said, well, listen, man. I know you've always felt uncomfortable around me. I never really got to talk to you. You just seem to disappear when I'm around. I've seen you roll your eyes already. I've seen you make faces when I'm talking. I'm not unaware. I realize you've had some troubles with whatever I stand for, whatever you think that is. You struggle with it, man. And he's just getting a little nervous, and he's like, well, no, it's all right, it's all right. I said, well, listen, man, I know why your hair's purple. He says, that's the kind of fella I am. When Jesus speaks to me, it's coming. And I love you enough to be forthright and trust that I'm hearing you. I said, I know why your hair's purple. He said, what? He's like, what? I said, because you know it breaks the heart of your mother. You don't even like purple, do you? You did that to your hair because it breaks her heart because she's so religious to you. She's thought you were that Bible ever since you were little. And you feel like you're hated because she's constantly, God saw that. Why are you working for the devil? Well, you're going to hell. Well, God saw that. Well, you should. And his mother tried. She tried. She was in fear. She didn't touch him right. Who knows, she wasn't trying to do wrong. It's all she knew. She was in fear. She was desperate. She saw her boy going the wrong way in her mind. So she tried to thump him back. And what it did was it angered and hurt and frustrated his heart. So he felt like he hated his mother and he was mad at God. And he thought, if this is God, I don't want nothing to do with him. And when he read my shirts, he thought, oh, there's one like my mother. Mm. Well, he hasn't even met me. I'm nothing like that. In fact, God knows what he's done in my heart. He can tell me the motive of that boy's hair being purple and knows that I'm going to do it right. The Lord told me a long time ago he can tell himself anything. So if I can come home with his heart, I'm in. I've been around young ladies and God told me the person in their family that touched them wrong and when it happened and all that stuff. And I watched God deliver young ladies through words of knowledge because he loves them.
Hallelujah.
That's fun, guys. That sure beats having an attitude and getting mad at how somebody looked at me and traffic's bad and oh my, I'm bummed and wow, I got to go to work or whatever. No, I'd rather live my life productive and let Jesus shine through me. I'd rather lay down my life so everybody around me can benefit. I'm done living at the expense of you. I'm ready to lay down my life for you.
Amen.
I'm done copping an attitude that puts pressure on you. I've let those attitudes die so you can go free. You're living in a home and you got an attitude all day. What are you doing to your family? Are you forgetting you're a family? Well, you don't know what they, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Stop. You're not winning. Nobody's winning. Everybody's losing. Why would you have an attitude in your home all day and then call it family? Why would you put pressure on the people in your home? Let's learn to love one another. Why would we do that and then come to church and sing, "Holy is the Lamb," and prove that we don't know Him? Come on, I know you don't expect me to talk like this. I'm a pretty smiley, happy fellow. But I mean business. I don't want you to teach yourself a lie. I don't want you to be something you haven't become. Or say you're something you haven't become. Then I want you to make peace with one another. I want you to value one another. I want you to leave here today and think about your life more deep than you've ever thought about it before. I don't want you to make decisions because you're hurt. Make decisions because you're angry. You will make the wrong decisions.
Yes, yes.
Watch, those decisions aren't even you. They're based on how you feel, not who you are.
Amen.
They're based on what you're mad at. This boy didn't even like purple. The Lord said purple's not even his color.
Wow.
He just knew it would freak out his mom. And he knew it broke her heart. So he did it feeling he's getting even with her. Now how petty is that? Think with me. To him in the moment it feels good. Some kind of physical sensual reward in that or something. Come on guys, we came home from work and our boss has been dogging us for weeks. And we're trying to endure and we're sucking it up. And some of us, you guys, some of us, you just want to punch him in the mouth. And your wife's like, "How are you doing? How? And you go to church with your wife, you know, and she's behind the scenes praying. And if you're not careful, you think she's just too much into Jesus. You better be careful. How do you get too much into Jesus when you let Him change your life and become like Him? Come on.
Amen.
And all of a sudden you go to work and you come home. She says, she's been praying for you all day. And she's loving on you with prayer. And you don't even realize it. You just think she goes to church too much. She cares and she's praying and she believes God. And you come home, "How was your day, honey?" "Man, my day was awesome." And she's thinking, "Oh, great, God answered my prayer." And you say, "Man, I finally opened up and gave that boss a piece of my mind." And it's amazing how that makes people feel so awesome in the moment. Well, wow, now the world's a different place. You gave the boss a piece of your mind. Whoa! Everything's better now. Do you see how shallow and ridiculous that is? I want you to hear it ridiculous so you never give yourself to that stuff again. That's just eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's just every man for himself. Dog eat dog, tit for tat. He said, she said, nobody wins.
That's right.
And it's amazing. Come on. You can relate with me. I've been in those ceilings where you feel like you're in school and you just told somebody off. And two friends went, "Whoa, man, you told them off, dude. Whoa." And you're like, for a minute, you're like king of the earth. Because you told another kid off? Wow, that's transforming. No, what it proves is we've been trapped into a self-centered mentality where it's all about me and I'm searching for identity. I'm looking for prestige. I need to be noticed. I'm making my voice matter more than any. I'm the subject of honor. I'm the one that needs accolade. I'm the one that wants reputation. And you're willing to do that at the expense of another if someone would build you up in it. And the gospel, friends, is the total opposite. You say, "Why are you preaching this on a Sunday morning?" Because here's the deal. It is possible to see your need for a Savior and believe He's real and ask Him to forgive you of His sin, of your sins in His great blood and never take on His heart, His nature, His ways, or His image and just let the same old things stay in your life. But you're calling on Him for forgiveness, mercy, provision, blessing, favor, and eternal life. But you don't want to become like His life.
Come on.
You want to hold on to the same anger, the same attitude, the same frustration. I promise you that's deception. I promise you that's unscriptural. And I promise you it hurts everyone around you and it hurts yourself more than all.
Amen.
Man, I don't come here planning on preaching this stuff. I don't even think about it. I get up here and it just comes. I'd love to preach something real happy. to me this is happy. Even though it feels hard in the moment, it's happy because it brings life. Yes. It sets you free. It gives your eyes on the things that matter the most.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you ain't hurting the people you say you love. All of a sudden you've become real and you understand love. And you'll never do that all day again. You won't give your spouse a silent treatment for another afternoon to send a hidden message.
Amen.
Come. The gospel tells us to lay down our life. The gospel says deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow Jesus. Church, if we're not careful, in a self-centered twist, we've made Jesus all about our blessing, all about our benefit, all about Him coming and making life cozy and meeting all our needs and filling all our gaps. No, He's here to change who I am. He's here to put who He is in me so I look through His eyes and see you.
Amen.
He's made us one with Him. Come on, it's not about just your ideas and your dreams and your... No, it's about your destiny, your calling, your created value.
Yes.
God said in the Bible, He made man for His image. We don't relate to that because we grew up in our image. We grew up in the flesh. Come on, every one of us was born into Adam and the fall of man. Every one of us was born into pride, jealousy, anger, frustration. And every one of us has learned to believe that's normal and that's how it is. But I've learned in the Word of God, that's not how God made any man. That's how man became when he lived apart from God. Yeah. We've become so wise and proud in our own opinions, we sit and discourse God as if we know Him. Yeah. And we turn around with our very motives and prove we don't know Him at all. The Bible in 1 John 4 says, if you don't love, you don't know Him. I don't care if you preach Him. If you don't love, you don't know Him. I don't care if you have a ministry in another country. If you don't love, you don't know Him. You're finding your identity through what you do instead of your identity through what you become.
Yes.
I just happen to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
And we call it a little children's church song, but it's really a song for humanity. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7, 8. No, please don't clap for that. Please. You don't need to make me feel good, I already do. I was just making a point. The Word of God says, beloved, let us love one another. Why in the world would I do that? People are creepy people, are weird people. No, people are in need of truth, and the truth's in you.
Yes.
You labeling them, stereotyping them, running from them, introverting from them, just hiding out, hanging out, hooking up in a church and just staying here and saying, this is where I'm safe. You missed the whole point.
Amen.
No, people aren't creepy. People are misinformed.
Yes.
People have wrong understanding sometimes. Not in a haughty and proud way. You're not pushing your beliefs on them. You're living their life in front of them. Your life in front of them. You're letting your life speak louder than words.
That's right.
And all of a sudden they see your life and your words have a place in their ears. And all of them are. I worked secular many years after I got saved. Two different places. And I had so many encounters and so many things. My life was changed. Co-workers came. How do you live this way? Boss called my house and home. How do you live this way? How do you live this way, man? I've never seen anything like this. I said, man, it's Jesus. He changed my life. He said, I don't understand. You got to explain. I explained. He cried. Got born again. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. I was pastoring for 2 years, Pastor. And I just got a little confused about ministry. I was a little troubled. Some of it felt like business church. Some of it felt a little rigid. Some of it felt bad. It was just stuff I wasn't used to. I was so innocent. I just Jesus. And then there was things about ministry that troubled me and felt bleh. And I was like, God, oh, no, I just want to go. I'm just going to get out of here for a while and just go into a real dark place. I like it in a real dark place. I do well there. I really do. Some people are trying to get out of the dark place and get into a church, like a full-time church job. Or I want to be around Christians. I want to be around Christians. No. God wants you working in very dark places.
Yes.
He really does.
Yeah.
You say, well, I just pray that God gives me a job in a Christian atmosphere. No, I pray He balls and change you in the place you are till you get a revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I pray.
Amen.
Because you're going home complaining about your boss, and you're supposed to be crying for your boss, realizing if he knew who he was, he wouldn't act the way he is. You should feel compassion for him, not frustration.
Yes.
It proves we don't understand the gospel.
Yes.
We're just moved by everything around us. We're to be moved by him.
Amen.
Guys, Jesus didn't teach us to think and feel that way. We were taught that just by living life. Nobody sent you to school and you didn't choose selfishness as your course.
That's right. That's right.
But it's amazing how we all passed with flying colors and didn't even study. Thinking for you and how it affected you. The only thing reason you get frustrated, because it's rubbing against the grain of what you feel, you think, you desire, is just we sing it's all about him, and proof it's we made it all about us. We are not made for ourselves, God. We're made for his image.
Yes.
Right. We're made for his image.
That's right.
That kid with the purple hair, I apologized on behalf of his mother to him and said, she meant well. Don't you see that now? You're old enough to get that, buddy. She was scared. She was trying the only way she knew. She wasn't trying to hurt you. She was afraid for you.
That's right.
In her own way, I'm not saying it was right. It wasn't right. But in her own way, she was trying to love you the only way she understood.
That's right.
And you let that, you let her dictate who you are. And the man I'm looking at these last few months is nothing more than a product of what he disdains. It's not even you. You're manipulated and fashioned by what you're mad at. It's not even you, buddy. This is a facade. This isn't even you. You're letting her and what you despise sculpt you. You're the masterpiece of what you're mad at. Mm. Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
You think you're cutting people off? Are you kidding me? They're sculpting you. The only reason you feel the way you feel and act the way you act is because your eyes are fixed on that thing and you're so mad at it. And you think you're winning because you're cutting it off. Are you kidding me? It's deciding you every single day. It's all manipulation. It's all deception. Actually, it's demonic. It's real. It's demonic. It's real. There's a spirit out there that's against God and against truth. Guys, there was a season I left the church, man. I left my full-time pastoring position. And my church was nice to me, man. They asked me to come on board, and they took my quarterly pay, 15 years seniority and union pay, and matched it and said, we're not asking you to sacrifice. You're a blessing. We'll give you everything you were making, my church, to be an associate, not a senior. Yeah. And I went, no. I told them no. They said, will you pastor? I said, no. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. They said, no, you're a pastor. God's really moving through you. I said, guys, God's supposed to move through all of us. Just because he's moving through you doesn't mean I'm a pastor.
Amen.
He moves through people that believe. He moves through his church.
Amen.
Doesn't mean I'm a minister, a full-time minister, that I'm supposed to have a name or a category or a title. Just because you see Jesus in my life, he's supposed to be in my life. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
3 times they asked me to pastor. It was really healthy that I said no. Some people are looking for an identity. They want that title. They want that. There was people saying, are you crazy? You got it made. You need to be a pastor. They're going to pay you this. You got, why don't you do it? Yes, I wish I had been asked me. Yes, that's why they didn't ask you. So I pastored there for 2 years and I left and went into a workplace. I found the darkest place I could find and got hired there. I had so much fun. I just did, man. I saw supervisors get saved. My whole team was getting touched by Jesus in my life. And I wasn't even trying to minister. It's just me. It's who I am. It's an everyday thing. They see you every day. And they start realizing you're not trying to push anything. It's who you are. And all of a sudden they realize in their own heart there's nothing negative about it. There's nothing freaky. There's nothing weird. I had one guy at my job say, well, you're so polite, it makes me sick. And I said, polite's good, man. It doesn't hurt anything. I said, you just used to live in a certain way.
That's right.
You have a macho mentality.
That's
you
think
rough, right. Boisterous, and belligerent is cool and macho and domineering. I said, what's that accomplished? Come on, man. What you see in my life, you're saying it makes you sick? It hurts no one.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that guy grew to love me. He saw that I was for real. And 2 years in, he told me, well, in a couple months, this will wear off. I said, buddy, this ain't going nowhere. His name's Jesus. And he said, it camped inside of me. It ain't going nowhere. I said, you don't understand. I'm in love. I'm not serving a doctrine. I'm not serving a doctrine. If you're serving a doctrine, you have highs and lows.
Yes. Right.
It's a good way to weigh your life, whether you're in relationship with Jesus or you're just serving doctrine. If you're serving doctrine, you have a lot of highs and lows.
Right.
I'm not serving doctrine. I'm in fellowship with God. I don't have highs and lows.
Amen.
I have fellowship and relationship with King Jesus, and He absolutely loves me, and I'm excited about that. He lives in me because He wants to. I didn't even beg Him. He actually paid the price to move in and then said, can I? And I said, come on. After a while, he said, come on. He knocked on the door for 33 years. And I was like, whatever. But then one day I got it. 33 years old, stopped going to church. I went to church with my wife for 2 years. And somebody came up to my wife one day at church and said, because she took me to a church like yours, man. It wasn't cool. This is pretty hard to hide here. I mean, seriously, I mean, you're like, you know, your sweet little daughter gets out and she says, come on, who's ready to dance? Who's ready to do that? I'm going to move my body, I'm moving my feet. And like, what do you do with that when you're not for real? Like, what do you do for that with having your wife sitting in the front or second row and you're with her and you got your daughter up there? Come on, let's do it. And I'm like, something's wrong with me. If I'm just sitting there, they might think, I wonder if he's saved. They might come over. They might come over. Is that what is that?
Oil.
Yeah. I didn't let the lid through me, buddy. Is that the lid he used? I thought, man, if I don't act right, they might come over with one of these. Can we pray for you, man? So I'm like, they got drums. They're doing it out there at church like you. And I'm like, no. No. Why did she bring me here? No. This is not good. This isn't good. And the people are like, and I'm in the middle of those people. And if I'm just standing there like this, I'll probably stand out. Probably somebody will believe something wrong about me, or bad, or right about me. So guess what I did for 2 years? It's the truth. I thought, you know what? If kids are happy, I can do this. It's not that big of a deal. I like to sing. I sing in the shower. It sounds better. There's so many people singing, I'll get away with it. I'll just sing loud. I can do this. So I remember in the beginning, I did the old one hand thing. You know, it meant nothing to me. I was just going along so I didn't stand out. I never talked to Jesus. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't even think about Jesus. I just went to church because it made her happy. And we're so shallow guys sometimes. My wife's like, bless her heart. She's like, I'm not making fun of her calling her shallow. What I'm saying is sometimes it's just, oh, at least he's coming to church. Who cares? I'm living like a dog. I'm making her cry every day. I'm showing her absolutely nothing that Jesus looks like, but I'm going to church and now that makes it better because at least I'm going, no, it probably makes it worse. I'm probably running the biggest risk of my life. I'm probably in the most dangerous place I've ever been.
Yes.
Going to church acting like I'm something I'm not. It's probably dangerous. Probably does your heart great injustice. Probably dulls your senses, people.
Yes.
A good appearance in front of leadership.
Come on.
Then talking to her like I've never talked to her in front of you.
All right.
That's not cruel, people.
Right. Amen.
It boasts in the fact that we don't know Him every time you do that.
Uh-huh.
You're declaring you don't know Him. Somebody came up and said, you know, it just seems like you have a really cool husband. You're like, she said, really? You ought to live with him for an afternoon. And when I realized my church attendance wasn't working anymore, and the cat was out of the bag, and now she's dishing on me to the people, I thought, that's my exit out of here. See ya. And I never went back. And I told her it was her fault. And she is gossiping about me. I made it all her fault. Isn't that what we do? It's got to be somebody's fault. It can't be mine. It can't be my attitude. It can't be my belief system. It can't be my motivations. It's got to be somebody's fault, right? Come on, God expanded his image. It says, don't ever eat that tree over there. You eat that tree, you're going to die, man. Adam eats the tree, his eyes open. He goes, whoa, I don't have any clothes on. Eve's gone the other way. It's not serious, it's in your Bible. Before that, it was like, there wasn't lust. There was like, hey, girl, I like that curve. It wasn't all that stuff. The world taught you that stuff. And people got hurt in that arena. We make it so, like it's so important, and so many people are getting trashed in that arena.
That's right.
Oh, I hate it. It's just like, oh, it grates on me. Such a lie. Then God shows up, and you hear him coming in the cool of the day. You hear the Lord walk. And Adam goes, and he runs from his father. He hides because he's sin conscious. He's separated. He's naked. He's ashamed. The Lord is so precious. He knows where Adam is. He knows he ate the tree. He knows it all. He's like, Adam, where are you? Giving man the opportunity to respond to God, to come out of hiding, even though he feels a certain thing, and just trust who God is. Here I am, Father. Adam. All of a sudden, they hook up. He says, Lord, I'm just here hiding behind all this stuff because, well, I'm naked and I was just ashamed when I heard you coming. Isn't that amazing? He said, Adam, how'd you know you were naked? But, yes or no question? Did you eat the tree? Is it yes or no question? Is that a yes or no question? Is this your mom? So if you did something, man, she'd come and say, did you take that out of the drawer? It's either a yes or no question, but isn't it amazing how you can help sometimes to say, well, I mean, I only took it because... ever do that? Ever? Yeah? So you can relate to this message. This thing ain't far out freaky. But, look, it's like you're justifying what you knew you did wrong. Why? Self-protection. Self-defense. Self-justification. It's all about me. What sin did to man was make him very self-conscious. So here's what Adam said. Did you eat the tree, Adam? He said, it was the woman you gave me, Lord. She gave me to eat. What's he saying? He's saying, watch what he's saying. In today's language, in 2015, this is what Adam did. Hey, man, don't look at me. Hey, it's you. It's you who gave me her. Probably who made the tree, man, so work it out. He says, woman, what is this you've done? She says, the devil, he made me do it. It's exactly how it went down.
Yes, sir.
Nobody taking responsibility. Nobody standing up like Jesus and taking it. Saying, you know what, Lord? I ate the tree. I know you told me not to. Eve ate and she told me and compelled me. And I followed her, Lord, instead of you. I'm so sorry. I should have never ate that tree. It wasn't her fault. I followed her. I didn't have to. I chose to, Lord. Forgive me, God.
Yep.
Why do we make that so hard?
Yep.
Yep.
Why do we hide behind charades and feelings and things? All he wanted to do was promise him and proclaim a covenant to come. All he wanted to do was take off their little frail fig leaves and dress them himself, symbolic of righteousness to come, garments of salvation, robes of righteousness. Come on, he doesn't want you guilty and ashamed. He doesn't want you hiding in lies and playing charades. How can you ever get to know him? You veil your face, you can never come to him.
Yeah.
You never feel worthy. You never feel ready. People say, well, I got to clean up before I come to the Lord. Come to the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
He took their clothes off and put new clothes on. Why? Every day they woke up and had new fig leaves on. What are they conscious of?
Their sin.
The day they messed up, the day they sinned, and they're trapped in that sin conscious mentality. If they wake up in the morning now and see those animal skins and know the Lord made them and put them on himself, what are they conscious of? The day he loved them and gave them a promise and a hope for the future.
Yes. Yes.
And all they said, and they say, you know what? He's not mad. He loves me. He doesn't want me to live this way, but he's empowering me to change. God's love has never failed. And now they're in his clothes, not theirs.
Wow.
That's a today Christian, guys. Come on, man. I'm gonna just wrap some things up with this. Are you okay if I'm just pouring out my heart and talking to you like this?
Yes.
And did like read a section of the word or something? No, seriously, some people, it just, you hear me talking the word, right?
Yes.
Listen, God made man's bottom line. I've preached it all weekend. I see so many new faces. I feel compelled to be very foundational. Guys, your life is a gift. Don't spend another day trying to come up with your own idea of what it's for or why it is. Go to God and thank him that he gave you the gift of life, and ask him to begin to reveal himself, and ask him to begin to make himself known to you more. Crack open a Bible without feeling like you have to read your Bible. Crack it open desiring to know him and ask him to reveal himself. You do that all alone. Shut down your technology long enough. Just get alone with God, seek him, and watch what happens.
Yeah. Amen.
See, nothing compares to your ability to be with him. There's nothing greater than God opening the door to who he is and letting you in. If a man draws near, he'll draw near to the man. If a man seeks him, meaning a woman too, the man will find him. See, that night, 13 years after I quit going to church, I went to work. And Pastor, I wasn't thinking about God. I was thinking about, can I be honest? I've been honest all morning, huh? My wife and I were 13 years into our marriage, and it wasn't exciting to me anymore that she was 3 years and 9 months older to me than me. Because we've been together 13 years, and I was, you know, I mean, raw. I was used to her by now. She wasn't a commodity anymore. I was used to her. She'd become common to me. That stuff breaks my heart. So we're done. We decide we can't make it. And I think, great. Why am I wasting my time with her anyway? When I was 19, I thought it was the greatest thing on the planet. Now I'm 33 and I'm thinking, hey, let's back up 8 years. This girl likes me. She's 25. This is going to be fun. What we do to each other is horrendous, man. We call it falling in and out of love. Let's get a grip. We're deceived, blind, and confused.
Amen.
Two children with this woman. I had no trouble sleeping with her all that time. I'd be nice to her on my nights off because I had intention. Come on, you learn to live smart and play people's cards, man. I like my work schedule. 4 days on, 3 days off. Woo! I was extra sweet on those days, girls. Guys, I was extra sweet on those days. I went to work. I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset that I was getting divorced. I was celebrating. I'll tell you what I did. I remember looking in the mirror one day. I was jogging. I lost 45 pounds. I thought, if I'm going to be in the market, I better get myself at least looking real presentable. That's what I was thinking. But I'm 33. I'm not over the hill yet. I started jogging, do a little bit of curls. You know, I'm doing that thing in the mirror. Like, gosh, dude. Just tell him. Are we doing this in church? It's all right, isn't it? Okay. Is it being real? What am I focusing on the whole time? What am I conscious of the whole time? I'm just making my whole life all about me and the whole world revolve around me. And when I'm not in Christ living for truth, I'm just one little speck in the middle of 7 to 8 billion. But when Jesus comes in and changes me, I become a light that shines in the center of it all. Before Jesus, I'm just a guy trying to survive and make my day. To no one's avail. No one's winning in that arena. Do you understand that I'm going to give myself now to a relationship with an 8-year-old younger girl if it's worked out that way? And I'm going to live at her expense now too. No one was put on the planet to meet your need. They were put on the planet to love. There's not a human being that you should reduce to the identity of fitting your bill, scratching your itch, meeting your need. It's unholy, and it's not the truth. Yeah? See, I can talk plain to you because I was strongly on both sides of this thing. And I know what was going on in my heart that night, Pastor. I remember looking in the mirror and I said, Dan, you ain't the most handsome cat on this planet, but I'll tell you what, somebody will need you. I was sharp enough to know it was all about vulnerability. I said, somebody will fall for you. Somebody will need you. So chin up. This is all going to work out. I went to work, and this thought came to me at work while I was working. Wasn't a human being around. You don't even know if God is real. The thought didn't say, your life's really out of order, you need to clean up. The thought didn't say, you know, you're trapped in sin, you need to change. The thought didn't say, hey, what are you thinking? Do you see what you're doing to that girl? And how dare you try to do it to that girl? And none of the voice didn't say nothing. Here's what the voice said. You don't even know if God is real. I thought it was my mind. I thought I was just thinking it. I'm like, what am I thinking about God for? What do I care? I don't care. Watch. I don't care. Pastor, you need to come up to me and try to evangelize. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Hey, man, look, I get it. Jesus died on the cross for me for my sins. Look, I go to church. Look, don't judge me. I used to go to church. I don't go right now. Don't judge me on that. But man, just believe. He just has faith. I believe in Jesus. Thanks, though, man. I just talk around you just to get rid of you. Voice came the second time. You don't even know if God. Sounded like God wanted me to know Him. Because knowing Him changes me.
Yes.
It's not about me serving Him. It's not about me going to church. Even though gathering together is totally scriptural, so get connected somewhere if you're not. Because it's important to stay in tune and stay in touch. You have something to give and offer to. So when I say it's not about me going to church, I'm not saying you don't go to church. What I'm saying is that's not my motive and my goal. It's knowing Him.
Yes.
Is the goal.
Yes.
And that's what He made the goal to me. And what He was telling me is the thing that was wrong in my life that wasn't happening was I was living without God reality. So I started to cry and I looked into my heart and I said, you know what? I don't even know if God's real. And this, it was all the Lord. He came and rescued me. This emptiness came on me. I know God did it. It was amazing. This emptiness came on me. I mean, after all these years, He was loving me. Like, you know what I did when I was 19? I hooked up with my wife. She's my wife. 33 years in May we've been married. Jesus is with us now.
It's a good thing. I love that girl. She's awesome. I got nothing but love for her. She can't even break my heart, dude. It's so amazing.
She doesn't owe me a thing. I love her. But the day she owes me something, she's going to fail me, Pastor. And I'll call you with issues. Yeah, it's good preaching, Dan. When I was 19, she was 23, almost 24, and I thought, is this going to work? My first chance, I tried to make it work. She said, Dan, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? You're 23. She just came out of two long-term relationships. She just got saved 6 months before. I don't care about that. I care that she's with me. I'm trying to make this thing happen. She says, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? And I kept trying to make it happen. And she said, Dan, what are you doing? Because I'm like, I'm all over her. And she's like, what are you doing? And I, what do you mean? She said, so sincere. Looked me right in the eyes and said, we're Christians. And I went, duh. But on the outside, I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. And I pulled some lame thing like, well, it's just what you do to me. You're just so all that. I can't be disturbing, girl. He's pitiful. Just say anything to get in my way. Just say anything to be fulfilled in my flesh, only the need to be fulfilled again and again and again and again, like an addiction. Living at the expense of a young lady who just gave her life to Jesus. Looking her in the eyes. Student said, I love you, and using her. You know why I love you works all the time? Because we need to believe it and hear it, because we don't believe that we're lovable. So when somebody says it, it don't even matter how it is. Just right. That they say it, we let that matter more. Because we need to hear it so bad. Because we ain't connected with love. We're trying to find it this way, instead of it coming through him. Guess what? She vowed that we wasn't going to hit no home run in our relationship till we were married. And I'm thinking, well, then I'm going to at least have a good bat in marriage. You get a lot of singles, doubles, and triples. I might not score, but we get an all base. So for 9 months, I made her cry. For 9 months, and say, this can't happen anymore. Look, we're going to be married. Stop. You can't put me in that position. Why? I said, I can't help it. You're so used to it. I love you. Look, I could be with any other girl. And I want to be with you. Doesn't that mean so new? It's trying to win her. Telling me that stuff. Trying to get home. So, I didn't have a bad batting average. Made her cry for 9 months. Then when we did get married, she felt like the only reason I married her was to sleep with her, and she was right. So that hurt our relationship right off the bat. I didn't have the capacity to love people. Jesus wasn't inside of me. I only had the ability to meet her. I had no ability to love her. Love wasn't inside of me. God is love. That emotion we feel, it's so driven by self-centeredness, that's why we can be broken the next day.
Yeah.
That starry-eyed, whirlwind, fuzzy feeling we get, we call it love, that thing is like the tide, man. Love never fails. I don't care what kind of day my wife's having, it doesn't even matter how she's feeling. It doesn't matter what she's doing. When I look at her, I always see the same thing. Somebody that Jesus loves, and I'm honored to be like Jesus in her life. Everything's changed. Why? Because he's real.
Amen.
Now, that night at work, I said, if you're real, I cried like a baby. I said, I'm so selfish inside. I'm such a hypocrite. Everything's about me, and I don't even like me. I need everybody to like me because I don't even like me. I was talking like that. My life is pitiful. It's so pitiful. I feel so empty. I was falling apart. Nobody was antagonizing. Nobody was playing a song. No preacher was driving me to an altar.
Come on now.
It was just Jesus rescuing my heart. See, that night when my wife, the reason I told you that story, made a vow to not let me sleep with her until we were married, I acted like I was okay with it. Until I got home, I was so furious and so mad. You know what I did when I got home? I rooted through my drawers till I found my Bible from when I was a teenager in youth group, 16, 17. I had a Bible somewhere. I found that thing, no paperback. I pulled it out. I screamed at it like it was a person. I remember it, man. You know why I remember it? Because it didn't faze him. He loves me. He didn't get angry like a man would get angry. He didn't beat me down like a man would beat me down. He didn't forever remember it like a person would remember that. I stood a delusional 19-year-old. Couldn't get my desires. I just came out of a relationship with an 18-year-old. And the reason I was with her because she didn't have no daddy, and I understood. Yeah, I wasn't dumb when I was a kid. It was wicked, man. You know what got in the way of that relationship? The gospel. So I was pretty mad at the gospel. It's cutting me off. Getting in my way. I was in a marriage counseling with a young couple one time as a pastor, and I was talking to them, and the guy said in the room, the girl's bawling, he said, dude, thanks a lot, man. You're cutting me off, man. You're cutting me off. I said, man, honey, would you please step back?
All right.
Please. Thank you, sweetie. Close the door tight. Just take a walk. I looked right at him. I said, young man, you don't have to stay here if you don't want it. I don't control you. But I challenge you to stay here and be a man because I'm ready to talk to you. He sat there. And then he started crying. A lot. I don't need to correct him. I don't need to be lord of his life. I care about him. What I see in him is going to hurt him and everybody around him. And he's going to miss his destiny one day. Realize that if I care about him, I'll talk straight.
That's right. Amen.
I get in my bedroom and I look at my Bible and I said, I hate you. I yell, I hate you. I wish I didn't know what you said. You're always in my face. Always in my face. Get out of my face. Do you hear me? You never let me do what I want to do. Hello? Get out of my face. I'm screaming at my Bible like I'm losing it right by what? And I slammed it against the wall in my bedroom. Went and found a bottle of vodka and just chugged that thing till I didn't remember nothing. Figured I'd teach God a lesson. Boy, I really set him straight on. The foolish things we do, and they seem so right in the moment. And when you look at what they're producing, you can see they are not the Lord. 13, 14 years later, I'm at work. Jesus didn't come hot, because the Word's God. God's the Word. I threw God into the wall, technically.
That's right.
God didn't come into my work. Hey, good. I just want peace with you. I just want to talk to you. I mean, I'm still feeling it from that man. He gave me a shot, right? Nope. He just come walking in there, surrounded me with who he is, captured my heart. I cried out to him, and this is what I said. If you're real, if you love me, you can forgive me of all these things and have a plan for my life. I will live for you. And heaven overtook me. And God filled my heart. I went ballistic. I looked like I needed two sedatives and a straitjacket. You have no idea. I think I pulled my hair. I spun. I ran from me to you, jumping up and down. You're real. You're really real. You're real. That hasn't fallen off of me since. I just calmed down enough to preach to you. It's the truth. I don't serve a doctrine. I'm not trying to live the Christian life. And then relationship with Almighty God. And He happens to be my Father. And He loves me in a way like I've never been loved. And empowers me to have confidence and boldness, security and healthy identity. Now I can look in a mirror without vanity and actually look into my own eyes and love what I see. Not because I'm something by man's standard. Because my conscience is clear and my heart is squeaky clean. I've got no secrets. I'm hurting no one. I'm not living in a lie anymore. I go to bed and sleep. Boom. I wake up. Yay. I am very close to Him. My conscience allows me to be. Because I ain't hiding nothing. And when I go to bed at night, it's a fun time for me. I don't toss and turn, feel bad about myself, second guess, insecure, wake up, face another day, try to get through and play the game. I love being alive because He's alive in me.
I love for life to come.
Hallelujah.
Hey, no secrets, man. You're not going to read something stupid about me in the paper tomorrow. It's not going to happen. It's not possible.
Hallelujah.
Unless we get flat out totally ready to slide. There is nothing to dig up. Listen, if you listen in the spirit when I walk, it's like, it's just so fun. One of the biggest lies of our lives is we all believe we have our secrets. We all believe we have to have our stuff. Every man has his little hang up. Stop believing the lie. Take away the runway so the plane can't come in anymore. Stop justifying weakness and stay the same. Man, I hope you're getting something out of this.
Yeah.
See, it's not about the person beside you. I'm talking to you. You're the steward of your heart. Don't you listen to what I'm saying for your spouse. If you already elbowed them, I'm definitely talking to you. All right.
I'm saying, boy, I wish so-and-so was here.
Right.
No, I'm talking to you. So you have destiny. You have purpose. You were created for God's image, friend. That's what the Bible teaches me. Jesus paid the most ridiculous price to change our lives. Totally innocent, only ever did good. Pure as pure that ever will be. And died between two thieves on a cross. Why? To take the guilt onto Him, to get it off of us. To take our image so we can have His. To become the lie so we can walk in truth. To die so we never will. To be separated from the Father so we're forever joined.
Yes.
This relationship is so important to God.
Thank you, Lord. He so desires
this relationship with us that He would put His Son on the cross to allow it to happen.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we're not careful, we've made it paying homage to God, praying over our food. Now I lay me down to sleep or going to church instead of becoming like Him. If we're not careful, we've just made it about a trip to heaven someday. Instead of heaven coming back into us.
Amen.
And us being changed.
Yes.
This gospel never has just been about you going to heaven. It's always been about your transformation and your change.
Yes.
It's always been about you putting off the old man, the man we grew up by, and putting on the new man, the one that died. Christianity is a change of life. It's not just a confession. People call it the great confession. No, it's the great transformation.
Hallelujah.
You get water baptized, you go under the water and die to everything you've ever been. So you come up out of the water and grace makes you what you were created to be. Guys, I'm just telling you, we're not going to affect our city if we don't give our lives to this purpose.
Yes.
And if we don't give our lives to this purpose, you won't even care about affecting your city. You'll just try to get by. And one day you'll stand before the Lord and realize you've missed the whole point. You've made it all about you, even though at church you sang it was all about Him. Come on, you want someone to come and talk to you like this. Especially just flying in, man. I got no need to be here. I want to be here. I didn't come to set you straight. We didn't pass no offerings. I didn't get up here and try to get your money. I told them not to even take an offering if they don't want to. I told Sean that the first day. I said, man, you can take offerings, sir. I didn't come here for an offering. I came here because we're family. If there's something in my heart that helps your life and become more like Him, I'll be happy to get on a plane and fly home and know that you just might run a better race. It's something I said. Might just confirm to say, I'm not here because I have to be. You guys aren't paying my bills next month. Jesus says that. I'm here because I care about you. Because I actually believe the gospel. And I believe every geographical location matters and every person matters.
Amen.
And I'm here because I want to be. You ought to get that. I have no need to correct you. I have no need to cheer you on and tell you who you are.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I was in a church last week. You don't need to know this. I'm just telling you. I don't know why. I said to the pastor, listen, I understand giving. You don't have to preach to me. I understand the blessing of giving. I'm not here for anything. I don't want any offerings. I'm not taking anything. You hear me? He answered better than any pastor ever. Because that's not the first time I've done that. He said, okay. You know what most people say? Well, no, brother, we want to sow into you, man. You're good ground. Don't you rob us of our blessing. I say, sir, we're going to sow into you just for your blessing. You're missing the point. Why don't you wait till you become love? You sow into people for love, not for what you get out of yourself.
Wow. That's right. Wow.
Good, sir.
Yeah.
Sometimes God has me take nothing because it breaks the spirit of religion.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it's more of a business deal. You know, ministers have contracts.
Yeah, it's a shame, but it's true.
I'll do for you, you do for me. It's really weird. I'll manifest my gifting, you bless me for it. What? That's not who's standing up front in your church today.
That's right.
I'm honored you gave me this little bit of time. I'm honored that I got to meet you.
And I want you to understand why Jesus died, so you could be transformed into His image. Become right. Love and follow Him. Amen. Not sing to Him, follow Him.
Amen.
Not need one another, learn to love one another. Not be dictated by one another, be dictated by Him so you see one another clear. Listen, you don't put metal in the microwave, it's not cool. Whoever did that? Startled you, huh? Whoever had metal in there and you hit the button? And you hit the button pretty quick afterward. If you read the manufacturer's handbook, microwave wasn't made for metal. If you keep putting metal in the microwave, what will happen to the microwave? You'll blow that thing up and destroy it, aren't you? Listen, this is so simple. You read the manufacturer's handbook. Men weren't made to live for themselves. You keep living for yourself, you're going to blow up the product. You're going to ruin the function of the product's creative value. And you're going to go against the grain of grace and empowerment and think life's tough and God's unfair. And it's because you're living for what you were created for. Jesus didn't say, if any man come after me, let him first pray a prayer so he can go to heaven.
That's right.
Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? The biggest problem on the planet is men living for themselves.
That's right.
It's not even the devil, guys. He just works with what you give him.
Mm. Wow. Yes.
If anyone come after me, that means everybody's invited. Let him deny himself, pick up their
cross.
What's pick up your cross mean? It means taxi through every injustice, every unfairness. Never let sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. Always overcome evil with good. Bless and never curse. Jesus never let what happened to him define who he was. He let who he was in God define how he responded. And love never failed. Come on, don't say, well, they started it. Well, I wouldn't have did that if they were. Why aren't you talking to them? Well, they always do that. They make me so mad. When is somebody going to tell them?
Come on now.
Jesus didn't teach you to talk that way. Life did.
Yeah.
You never heard that stuff in his mouth. We were homeschooled in the wrong home, guys. We were born into Adam. It's time to get born again. Don't make it a prayer to go to heaven, and don't make it about blessings and favor and God giving you a new job. It's about Him coming inside of you and becoming one with you so all that He is in it for your life. Don't get trapped finding your identity through what you do for the Lord. You'll never feel like you're good enough. You find your identity through who you've become in the Lord. And you'll always be His child. And you'll live from the security of that place. You guys good?
Yeah.
I need to stop. I wanted to stop around 12. I just got a little late. Pastor prophesied about it. I need a lot of time. It was the pastor you gave me, Lord. He made me. You know, attitudes, opinions, they're a dime a dozen. I'm not trying to dishonor you and degrade you when I say that. I'm just saying the places they come from usually have a lot to do with emotions, feelings, and individuality. That's why I get concerned with the whole social media when I look at it. It's just a place for everybody to vent and express their feelings. What's that have to do with anything? If Jesus came and was the truth, that means before He came, we were living in a lie. Doesn't mean there wasn't some truth around, but one of the most dangerous things in your life is partial truth.
Amen.
He's the truth. He's not a way. He's the way. He's not a life. He's the life. And here's why I honor Him so much. Because even though He is who He is, He chose to come and become like me. Give me the chance to become like him and show me what true honor and integrity and character and love really is. I wouldn't know love unless I got a good look at Jesus. If I tried to find God through you, through my life, I'd have a distorted view. That means so much to me now that I so want to become like him. I've spent so much time with him that I want you to be able to see my life and not have a distorted view. I want you to actually see my life and have a very good look at your Father.
Hallelujah.
And I happen to believe it's possible to live
yes.
that way.
Yes.
And I happen to believe it's possible to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him and love not your own life unto death
yes.
and show mercy and make peace and love one another.
Yes.
I actually believe that I carry that identity, destiny, and integrity. And it was
yes.
given by God and not taken serious. So my day for having issues with you ended a long time ago, friend. My day of judging you is over. I have one option.
It's a very narrow road in view. I love you. That's all I know. I'm calling you into that life this morning, no matter where you're from. I'm not just preaching at the Life Gate House today. There's a lot of folks here. Many houses, one body, one faith, one mind, one motive. Listen, we can all leave here today with the same reason for being.
Yes.
And we can all stay steadfast on that path and pursue him to be more like him. We can all wake up tomorrow for the same reason. When we live for the same reason, that's what makes us one. It's not just your ministry, your calling, your mission field. It's his love. That's what makes us powerful. You guys good?
Yeah.
Look, if you're not saved here today, I don't do altar calls too much. I know that sounds strange to people. I just preach the gospel and let the Holy Spirit save men's hearts. I see tons of people saved. I don't do a lot of altar calls. But this morning, I'm just telling you, if you're not born again, you've never been born again, and you don't even know why, then you might not have understood totally clearly. And today, you realize that you were never made for you. You were made for his image. What God's doing through Jesus is restoring the right to his image. He's getting that which was lost back to us. Destiny and purpose and identity. You say, well, I don't know how God can love me. I've done so many things wrong. He doesn't love you for what you did wrong. He's not trying to get over what you did wrong. He loves you for who he created you to be.
Yes.
He loves you for your value, your created value, your destiny. He knows what you look like when he's in you and you're surrendered.
Yes.
He thinks that's worth paying for, man. Look, nobody pays $50,000 for a $20,000 car. That would be foolish. Why? It's not worth it. But he shed his blood for you. You must be worth something to him.
Right.
In fact, I know us as people, we're two-for-one sale stuff. We're buffet all-you-can-eat for $9.99.
Right.
I mean, you don't even write the check unless you're sure what you're getting in return is well worth the price. Isn't that how we do it?
Yes.
Don't we look for the best deal?
Yes.
Don't we bargain shop?
Yes.
Don't the stores say, if you find a price that's lower than us, we'll match it just so you shop here? And that's what we do. We search for a lower price across town, and then we say, hey, they have it for this, and you pay that because you believe you're paying less for more? Who in here says, well, I know it ain't worth it, but oh well, I'll pay it. That ain't how we live, is it?
Nope.
Would God write the check through the blood of Jesus Christ, if he didn't think what he was getting in return was well worth the price?
Hallelujah.
There was a time you didn't get that. There was a time life had you beat down. I know your story just a little bit. Not much, just a little bit. But bless you for believing the truth.
Hallelujah.
And bless you for letting him redeem you and raise you up in truth.
Hallelujah.
Because there was a time we didn't see, and because what we didn't see, it made us what we were. We didn't think we were worth nothing, so we lived up to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything we did, everything that came upon us, we thought we deserved because we were so worthless. That's not what the blood says.
Mm-hmm.
The blood says, in her darkest day, darkest moment, darkest memory, the blood says, I know who you are, honey. I've known you from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I know your name and I love you. I paid the price for you to be with me. come and be with me so I can father you. And people say, well, look at her. Well, look what she's doing. Well, look where she's been. He says, it's not about where you've been. It's about who you are and who you dream to be. Come to me.
Amen.
I have nothing but love for you.
Amen.
Come on, that's the gospel.
Hallelujah.
What you do is deny yourself and say, okay, I'm done driving the car. I'm done making it about me. I'm done living at the expense of people. I'm done hurting my spouse, telling them I love them, and then hurting them. I'm just done living this way. And I'm going to get before God and let Him build the truth for me.
Yes.
Listen, I'm leaving on a plane this afternoon. So I can't help you with this, but somebody here can. If you've never been born again, you've never received Jesus, and today you're hearing that it's about love, Jesus' model of life that we were created for. It's about giving yourself to Him and Him giving you all that He is and empowering you to live so you can do justice to the gift called life. You've never been born again. You've never been born about this. We're talking about backsliding. I'm not talking about coming back to the Lord. That's simple. You're hearing me preach. You're sitting there just saying, duh, what was I thinking? Lord, I'm home. I'm coming home. Thanks for loving me. Receive me. Just come home.
Amen.
I don't need an altar call and you up here crying.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Just come home.
Amen.
If you say, man, I haven't been living this way, start. Give your life to Him today. Surrender like never before. Get alone in a room and shut the door and lay before Him and say, Lord, I heard what that man said today. Grab my heart. I'm giving myself to You. Help me. Father me. But I'm coming to You. I want You more.
Hallelujah.
But in my heart, I just feel like there's somebody here you've never, ever, ever been born again. You've, for some reason, you've just never said, Jesus, be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I want You to receive me. And I'm ready to give my life and lay down my life and die to myself. I would be honored if you would rejoice. I'd be honored to pray with you right now. If you have boldness, just let me know who you are and run up here. We're going to make a scene and embarrass you, but I'm going to turn you loose to somebody and I want them to baptize you. I want them to get you to water. Will you get somebody? Will you be able to baptize somebody around here, right? Somewhere, get fine water. Man, just get them to a tub. Just put them under. If you're a good pastor like me, you hold them to every bottle stops. Good. I knew you were a good pastor. You got the oil of Jesus. It's the same bottle, man. Water baptism is a symbol of death in the likeness of His death. Coming up is a symbol of resurrection, like Hebrews. And it depicts new life.
Yes.
So is there somebody here and you'd be bold and humble? And you'd say, you know what, Dan, I'm done running. I'm done fighting. I'm done being angry. I'm done being opinionated. I'm done hurting the people I say I love. I'm done playing the facade. I'm done being in all the right places, living from all the wrong places. Whatever that might be. Is there anybody here you'd say, I got in this room today, and I'm not born again, but I want to be, and I want somebody here to baptize me as soon as they can, and I want to get saved. I feel like there's a young man and a young lady. Are you here? Would you come? Please. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to fool. You know, if you're here, just come and wait and stay sitting with you. Just take a second here. Anybody in this room? Okay. Listen, I know when a fellow talks like I talk, there's convictions in the room. I know your heart gets challenged. They're all good things. Conviction means to shine light upon. Condemnation is not God. Conviction is. To shine light upon means that darkness flees in the light and all of a sudden you see the truth clear. So you can pursue it clear. I'm just not a real drama guy. I preach with passion, but I'm more about you getting real with Jesus, getting alone with Him. I'm a relationship kind of guy. You don't see what you see in me because a bunch of people laid hands on me. Honestly, I don't preach this from the pulpit. I don't think I ever have because there's such a movement out there of impartation. I've never had anyone lay hands on me. I've never had a spiritual father or a mentor, ever. I've gleaned from a few people along the way. I've just been in love with Jesus from day one. And I've spent countless hours with Him in my bedroom. Doesn't mean I don't honor people. I'm not an island to myself. I just haven't looked for something in your life and believed that I needed it through you. I just went to Him and He's given me a lot. I'm not against impartation. It's real. God's used me in that way. So I'm not coming against anything. What I'm saying is, Don't let anything take the place of being with Him.
Yes.
So I'm a real relationship guy. And on a Sunday morning, I'm a real sober guy. And I want you to leave here and think more about your relationship with Jesus than maybe you've considered in a long time. And really ask your heart, where am I with the Lord? Do I really know Him? Am I pursuing to know Him more? Do I really think about that and give myself to that? And the way I'm conducting my life, will I get to know Him more? A year from now, do I have any reason to believe that my life will be any closer to Him than it is now? Am I in that place where I have confidence that He's revealing Himself to me? Am I even pursuing that? That's the stuff I want to provoke in you today. Because, Pastor, I'm telling you, if that stuff starts happening in us, our desire for the city will start being fulfilled and our lives being changed. Love itself is evangelistic. We don't have to call evangelistic outreaches. Your life is evangelistic.
Yes.
We took a group of people out in the streets once and handed out tracts, and this precious black gentleman, man, God spoke through him. Like, wow. Our ladies ran over. We got in the parking lot. We're going to storm the city. We called it Storm the City. It seemed right. It's not Christian. We got tracts this high. We're fast. Everybody's in the parking lot. And we prayed. Some of them haven't prayed in tongues for a month. But we're going out there. Oh, shock. We do a church, girl. We do a church. Hand out the tracts. And girls, hey, did you hear the good news, sir? He said, what's that? Jesus loves you. Handed him a track. He said, well, thank you. Actually, I do believe Jesus loves me. Thing is, I don't believe you do. That's what he said. He said, actually, I believe you're a church group that probably does this once or twice a year, and you're out here trying to make yourself feel better about what you say you are. He said, my question to you is, when's the last time you handed out a tract apart from your church group? And when's the last time you said Jesus loves you apart from your outreach?
Amen.
That was God.
Wow.
He said, listen, I think you guys need to get a grip there. I do know Jesus loves me, but I don't think you guys have a clue. Wow. But have a good day. And I'm like, get in the cars, we're heading And that lady said, Pastor, you ain't going to let that man's hard heart deceive you off these streets. That man got a hard heart. I said, honey, if you can't hear God talking there, you need to pray for your ears. We going back to church and read.
Yeah.
It's amazing how all our outreach is usually organized ministry. And that's why it doesn't have the sharpest edge it could. Because it's not even the reality of who we are. It's what we think we have to do because it's what we're part of. No wonder if all our outreach would come because you have a life that you live in this city and people get bumping into Jesus because they bump into you and you love people along the way. Wonder if you don't have overwhelmed and hurt and unresolved conflicts and marital complications. Wonder if you just have Jesus, you're making peace, you're loving people, and you're living your life in Him, and all of a sudden you're reaching out to a whole lot of folks just because of who you've become.
Yes.
It's not because you handed out a tract and said Jesus loves you. It's because they see your life's free. Yeah?
Yes.
And I'll pray that over this house, okay?
Yes.
And I'm going to turn over to the pastor because that's just a Sunday morning, and I don't feel a lot of ministry in my heart. If you guys want to have auto workers, you want to do whatever you want, it's your house, you can. Don't be disappointed by that. Don't think a guest speaker always has to wait till the end of the service for the big hurrah. No, the service starts when you get here. It's called love one another.
Amen.
I want to cheer you on. Everybody in this house is worth the blood of Jesus. God believes we're worth His Son. Amen?
Amen.
So Father, I pray that we grow closer to You than we've ever been before. And I pray, Father, that relationship is like it's never been before. I pray that You put a supernatural, if you will, a grace-inspired hunger to pursue You in every one of our hearts in a level that we haven't had before this day.
Yes, God.
I'm asking You that You make our consciences aware of You, that we start thinking about motives and attitudes and perspectives, that God, You would literally constrain us in Your love and compel us by Your purpose. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name to let grace fill every heart in this house. This city is so precious to You because it's full of people. This city is on the map of God because it's full of people. And I pray we get that, God. I pray, Father, we see how valuable people are to you. How much you love us. How much you love everyone. And I pray you teach us it's not the reprimand of God that changes a man's life. It's the goodness of God. Form us and fashion us by your Spirit. And make us one with your heart. Through knowing him. And let everyone see they can. Not one person disqualified. Not one person unworthy. Let every person have the confidence to